Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Central Bank of India Q3 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sohail Halai from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan. Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to Central Bank of India's 3Q FY21 earnings call. Today, we have with us Mr. Pallab Mohapatra, MD and CEO, Mr. Alok Srivastava, ED, and Mr. Mukul Dandige, CFO. First of all, congratulations, Pallab sir, on a good set of results and for navigating the bank through really tough times. Now, without further any delay, I would hand over the call to you for your opening remarks, post which we can open the platform for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Okay, good evening to all of you, and welcome to Q3 earnings result analyst call. I will only give you the major highlights because we have already uploaded our PPT on our analyst page in our site. So you must have also gone through, or you can go through it. The major highlights are the net profit during Q3 this financial year was at 165 crore, showing a growth of 6.45% YOY. Net interest income in Q3 showed a net growth of 10.19% with 2,228 crore. The total business of the bank also showed a growth of 6.29% at 504,728 crore, as against 474,846 crore in Q3 2019-20. CASA has also improved to 48.11% as against 45.82%. Provision coverage ratio also improved to 84.19% from 73.73%. If we take out the technical write-offs, still the PCR is above 75%. Gross NPA improved from 19.99% to 16.30%. Net NPA is below 6% at 4.73%, and it was also below 6% in Q2. So we are maintaining that particular tempo, and we are expecting this to further go down. Cost of deposits improved to 4.28% from 5.08%. NIM has improved from 2.92% to 2.97%. Especially on the NIM and the yield on advances and the interest income, I will separately tell you the details of that. The capital adequacy was also at a comfortable level of 12.39% against the regulatory requirement of 10.875%. The bank's net worth stood at 19,211.77 crore. Net profit per employee, which is the productivity, also improved to 2.07 lakh against 1.82 lakhs in the previous corresponding period last year. Business per employee also improved from 13.83 crore to 15.72 crore. Business per branch also improved from 101.85 crore to 109.32 crore. Total deposit increased by 5% YOY growth, touching 3,23,872 crore. Retail loans also increased by 11.18% YOY, reaching 49,111 crore. The RAM, which is Retail, Agriculture, and MSME, also improved with a growth of 8.60% from 107,594 crore to 116,843 crore. Now, this constitutes 64.61% of the total advances. We have 4,617 branches as on 31st December 2021, of which 64 branches are in the rural and semi-urban areas. The digital banking also showed improvement now as against 55.87% in December 19. It has improved to 75.25%. Mobile banking user base also increased to 30.78 lakhs from 24.89 lakhs. UPI transaction, which is the major component of our digital banking, has also improved from 10.10 lakhs per day to in March 2020 to 19.61 lakhs per day. Active debit card users also increased from 2.42 crores in March 20 to 2.59 crores. Under the financial inclusion, under the Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana, bank opened 3.60 lakhs accounts during this quarter, that is Q3. Outstanding balance has also gone up to 3,785 crore in Prime Minister Jan Dhan Yojana accounts. Total enrollment under Pradhan Mantri Suraksha Bima Yojana and Pradhan Mantri Jeevan Jyoti Bima Yojana, two social sector schemes, and also the Atal Pension Yojana, they have increased to 48.68 lakhs, 16.15 lakhs, and 11.63 lakhs respectively. And amount of transactions through the BC, that is business correspondent, has also increased from 6,374 crore to 7,402 crore. This is in short about the financial performance for Q3. I will take few minutes on some qualitative aspects which we did in taking some initiatives in Q3. Though in this financial year, we have started on a big bank sort of thing on new initiatives, but I will focus only on the initiatives which we took during Q3. Under the Project Disha, which was basically analytics-based business transformation program, we have rolled out this program on a pilot project basis in earlier seven regions. Now we have included another seven regions. And within 2-3 months, we are going to basically roll out this in PAN bank. This is the program under which the focus is basically on the retail, agriculture and MSME, and how to basically do this particular business by using the data and data analytics. And so this is going to be a real game changer for Central Bank of India. And with one of the lowest pricing which we have in these three business segments, and with this push through the technology driven as well as analytics driven, as well as the new business models, there is going to be a massive change in the quality of the portfolio, size of the portfolio, and the type of business we are doing. This single data repository, which is nothing but a data warehouse, there we have got the hardware, and this installation of the hardware is in process, and we are hopeful that this will be fully on board in a quarter or 4 months, and this will help the bank not only generating the dashboard as per the requirement of the MIS by the management team or by the people to take decision, but this also has features for doing the analytics. So this is also going to be a major game changer. Then on the technology, other technological initiatives we have taken is we are in the process of implementing a new loan originating software which is called LendSafe, which will be end-to-end in the credit area. That means starting from getting the application, inputting the application, processing the loan application, and then giving the decision on the loan application, and then uploading the that onto the CPS, and then also doing the credit monitoring. So this is going to be end-to-end loan origination and credit monitoring system in the credit area. We have taken also during this quarter some of the initiatives forward under HR. Major are this performance management system. Now we have introduced a dashboard which will basically show the quarterly performance of each employee, and then they can basically see that in which direction they are moving. And we have in this on, I think, in January or December, POs recruitment, we did it in December.
January.
We have recruited 200 plus provisioning officers and 600 plus clerical staff. And for the first time, they are being the provisioning officers are being basically going through a process of induction, which is 2 years induction, which includes both the institutional training as well as on the job training. So this will basically groom them to take up the assignments in a much well equipped stage. So this is another initiative which we have taken. We have also done the succession planning project for scale 5 and scale 6 scale 6 and scale 7 officers, and also scale 5 officers is under process. So we are creating the pipeline for for those who have the competence and capability to move on to the next level. We have also completed this HR audit, that is basically to gauge the efficiency of the HR infrastructure which we have at different levels, and how this HR infrastructure is helping in the business development and the business growth in the bank. So these are on the qualitative fronts. So now I leave it. This in short, I have given the brief about the financial numbers and also the qualitative parameters. So I leave it open to the analysts, any questions they have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Akash Kotriwala from Cloud Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
I have just two basic questions. On the investment side, what is the unrecognized gains that the bank is sitting on in HTM books? And is there any partnership in NBFCs under co-lending that can possibly aid faster loan growth?
Sir, we had done one under the co-origination. I am responding to the second part first. And in the co-lending, we got the policy approved in the recent past. And we are in touch with some of these NBFCs. And hopefully, very soon, we are going to onboard some of the NBFCs under co-lending. On the first part, sir, unrecognized benefit in the investment as such is not the, I think, anyone discloses, because it is only the depreciation which is disclosed, not the appreciation in the treasury book.
Okay. Thank you.
And then when you are talking about hold to maturity, so hold to maturity, the basic benefit is that it is not mark to market.
Yes. Okay, thank you. That answers my question.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ashoka Ajmera from Ashcon Global Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Ajmera sir. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you. And congratulations to you for yet again another quarter of profit. And of course.
Hello.
Quantitative parameter, which I think will yield good results in the future to come for the bank. Sir, having said that, I have got certain, a couple of observations and some questions. That our CASA has gone up 48.11%, but our NIM has come down from the compared to the last quarter to 2.97 from 3.35%.
Okay.
So what could be the main reason for this NIM coming down so drastically?
Okay. Shall I answer this question first, or you want to?
No, I have a couple of other questions also. Whatever you want, I mean, shall I?
No, I'm okay, Majumdar Sahab. I can answer question by question. I can also, you can ask all the questions, and I can answer all the questions.
Okay. So my then I have a couple of other questions also. Second number question.
Yes, sir.
₹683 crore in the NPA.
I think we lost your voice in between. In the second question, can you repeat it, please?
There is a regular write-off in the NPA movement of 683 crore as compared to 149 crore of last quarter. So, what are the main items of this write-off? Like, there is some major big accounts, or there are a number of accounts which are there which led to such a big write-off. By which the gross NPA has come down drastically.
Okay, Ajmera Sahab, the answer to the first question regarding the NIM, on the deposit side, you must have seen that the cost of deposits has come down. Now, on the interest side, you will see that the interest on advances, interest on investments are almost flat. But interest on advances has come down both sequentially as well as YOY.
Yes.
The reason is, I will tell you the reason. Sir, if you remember, RBI came out with this repo-linked benchmark, right?
Yeah.
And so in December 19, the repo-linked benchmark portfolio which we were carrying was 9,476 crore. Now this has gone up to 35,816 crore. So this is on the portfolio. Now the question may be asked that how this has basically impacted your interest income. That also we have calculated. If I only see the 3 quarters interest income which has been impacted, that is around 415 crore. If I add the 415 crore to December 29 months interest income, that works out to 18,256 crore. So there is a positive, not only sequential growth, but also YOY, and also this has the positive impact on the NIM, and the NIM with this will be around 3.15 or 3.10, if my calculation is not wrong.
Okay.
So this is on the first part. The second part, you asked about the movement of the NPA, and so there is the write-off. Now, sir, this write-off, there are two type of write-off. One is, One write-off is called the technical write-off, where when we hold some provision, we use the provision to write off so that on both the liability side as well as the asset side, the amount comes down. During the last, including this quarter, that means 3 quarters, we have not used that, so the figure is zero. Now, the normal write off is what? I will give you one example. In one particular account, which was settled in NCLT, the total outstanding was around 400 odd crore. And there, as per the NCLT resolution, we got around 50 crore as our share in the resolution plan. What happens is, even if there is a provision against that, but when the entry is passed, so 414 minus 50 crore will be the reduction in the principal outstanding. And whatever is the provision being held against that, that is basically written back to the profit and loss. So this is the accounting.
Okay, sir. Sir, one is on this income this tax provision.
Yes, sir.
On 449 crore rupees of this thing, the tax is 284 crore.
Which is 50% and more.
No, this is much higher. So, what is the component of the deferred tax treatment in that, and what is actually the income tax? Because this is much higher. It is almost about 58%, 55%. You know, if you take the
total of the tax figure. For income tax, which we have basically added here, will be 150 crore. Hello.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah. Regarding the taxes,
yes, sir.
The breakup of 284 crores.
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind, we will send you separately.
Oh, okay. Okay, sir. I will take it.
But conceptually, I can give you the concept. See, what happens is, based on the calculation, which is based on the past trend, suppose the provision is, in our bank, it works out to 700 crores. If in a quarter we are making less than 700 crore of the provision, we do not get the benefit of that as a tax deductible, number one. Number two is, whenever we do a technical write-off, that means we use the provision for technical write-off, then we basically, we are not impacted by the DTA. In this three quarters, we have not basically used the provision for the write-off. So these are the two, three factors on account of which this taxes appears to be on a higher side against the corporate taxes. So,
okay, sir, I'll take it offline, sir. No problem, sir.
Okay.
There is one another small observation on that penalty by RBI of 50.46 lakh. Is it a common feature or for all the banks, or it is something special for the housing loan irregularities and something to do?
No, sir. This what happened was, this was basically a case which was filed by some gentleman in the Supreme Court against RBI and Central Bank of India, that Central Bank of India has given the full amount of the loan without basically sticking to the construction-wide disbursements. So in that case, RBI basically inquired into it, because RBI was also one of the defendants. And when they went through it, they found that out of maybe 150 accounts, there were only 11 accounts where the full payment was made. Out of these 11 accounts, only 4 or 5 accounts were NPA, rest accounts they were paying the installments regularly. There was a personal hearing which was given to me, the opportunity which was given to me. I explained everything, that there was no violation of RBI guidelines, because when RBI came out with the circular that there cannot be one instance disbursement of the full amount, it should be linked to the construction, we had immediately issued the instructions. But one branch in Delhi did not comply with that instruction. So that has nothing to do with the policy. That has nothing to do with the decision taken at the bank level. But somehow RBI did not agree to that, and they imposed a penalty. So we have paid it.
Thank you. The current participant has left the question queue. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Anirvan Sarkar from Principal India. Please go ahead. Mr. Sarkar, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question. Anirvan Sarkar, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question. Mr. Sarkar, please unmute your line from your side if muted. As there is no response from the current participant, I have muted the line. We'll move to the next question from the line of Maruk Adajania from Ilara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Yeah, waiting for my 28th of February to superannuate.
So you made an immense contribution to the sector. So congratulations for that. Hope you have a good time after this also.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
So, sir, I just wanted to have any color on the pro forma slippage. So,
yeah, we have given, because this is also a part of the disclosure, we have given it is 3,414 crore, something like that.
Yes. Yes, sir. So, is there any breakdown that you can give?
Like,
how much is retail?
Okay, that breakdown right now I don't have. I can separately give it to you. But one figure I have, that out of this 3,414 odd crore, 145 crore we have already upgraded. And I am quite hopeful that by the end of the this financial year, we will be able to upgrade more out of that. Though we have made the provision of 15% on that, but we will be able to upgrade more of that.
Okay, got it, sir. Got it.
That breakup we will send to you separately. That is how much is retail, how much agriculture, how much MSME, and how much corporate.
Sure. Sir, and would you have, I know that this is something related to, it's a government's decision, it's not yours, but would you have any comments on privatization of state-owned banks?
Ma'am, see, state-owned, what I as an individual strongly believe that in case of the bank, financial sector, more and more financial sector units should be in the private hands. And the decision taken by the government first for merging and then privatization, that means reducing the number of public sector banks to 5 states, is, in my opinion, a good move. And when some of these banks are privatized, so they will be, from the efficiency point of view, definitely it will improve a lot. This is my personal assessment of that.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks
a
lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Amit Mishra from Indus Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, my question is on retail loan growth. Sir, we have done 11% of retail loan growth this year. Sir, how you are planning to grow it further from here? And also, can you talk about the asset quality in retail segments?
Asset quality in retail sector is definitely better than the corporate sector. It will be around 3.25%. And regarding the guidance for the current financial year, that means fourth quarter, I feel that we will be able to close this financial year with a growth of 10 to 11%.
10 to 11% in retail or overall growth?
No, overall will be 5 to 6%.
Sir, in retail segment also only, and sir, in education loans. Sir, our portfolio has reduced.
This year, there is a degrowth in the education loan. And the main reason for that is, first of all, very few people came forward for education loan for the overseas studies. Virtually, I will say, no one came forward for overseas education loan. Even in for the domestic also, the demand was very, very less this year. So there was a degrowth in education loan if I look at the YOY. From 3,892 crore, it has come down to 3,662 crore. If you look at slide number 17.
Yes, sir. So what about asset quality in education?
Education loan, the asset quality, especially below 4 lakh is very bad, and below 7.5 lakh is also bad. But anything above 7.5 lakh, the asset quality is good. And the stress in the asset quality is more or less concentrated in 2 states. One is in Bihar, and the second is in Tamil Nadu.
Okay, Bihar and Tamil Nadu. Okay, sir. Sir, another question is on ECLGS scheme. Sir, what is our total sanctioned and disbursed amount so far?
Right away, I don't have that figure. We will give you separately.
ECLGS. Yeah, 2000
against 2008. Our ED has that figure. So
against the sanction of 2,800 crores roughly, we have disbursed around 2,600 crores, and they are yet to be disbursed. In the latest one, ECLGS 2, the cases are still coming, and in fact, such proposals we are doing it at our central office level, in both the ED-headed committee as well as the MD-headed committee and the MC, all three.
Okay. Sir, my last question is, sir, you talked about so many reforms on technical front. So, how much incremental cost you are expecting on the same?
Sir, incremental cost, we keep on accruing in our balance sheet. And on the revenue side, the total expenditure will be around 10 to 15 crore, or 15 to 20 crore. On the capex side, it will be much more.
Okay. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sushil Choksi from Indus Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the management team. Sir, I have a couple of questions which may be repetitive from the previous quarter results. So what are we indicating on asset quality and CASA of the bank for near term, maybe two quarters or a year ahead?
Choksi sahab, on the CASA, now our strategy is to focus more on the CA of the CASA side. And since our presence is more in semi-RUSU area, so we have already floated a RFP for 3-in-1, which will improve the stickiness in the savings bank depositors, and we will be able to get more of these depositors. The third is we are introducing new salary saving packages for different categories of employers, where we will have something free insurance premium depending on the number of salary accounts which you will get. So this will improve the SA side, and by doing more of merchant acquiring business, we will be improving our CA side in the CASA. On the asset quality, sir, in the fourth quarter, because we are not getting very good positive signals for resolution in the NCLT, so our now dependence is more on sale to ARC, OTS, and non-discretionary and non-discriminatory one-time settlement scheme. We are expecting a reduction in the NPA in the fourth quarter through these three to the extent of around 3,300 to 3,500 crore. This is, I am talking about the reduction in NPA. Normally, the ratio is 2:1. That is, if 2/3 is the recovery, then one will be the reduction in the NPA. So from that point of view, I am hoping that we will end without technical write-off the gross NPA level of something around 25,000 or 24,000 crore.
So the next question based on the same is, what is the CASA number which you think, irrespective of what decision and what change of policy, 46% to 48% or 47% to 48%? Would be a stable CASA for the bank, and what would be the cost?
This will be stable. I think it will get stabilized at something around 49% to 50%.
Okay. And where do you see our cost to income going forward where the bank is concerned?
Sir, cost to income, definitely our efforts. This time this has gone up mainly because we made additional provision for the wage revision. We had made a provision of 885 crore up to September, and at that time the wage revision was being negotiated with the unions at a 12% wage hike without any revision for the leave encashment and other things. But when finally this was settled and signed, it went up to 15.2% with 2% as the loading. So this quarter we have made additional provision of around more than 200 crore. And so when we have paid the arrear and when we have worked out the leave encashment, my sense is that in March quarter, there will be a write-back of around 25 to 30 crore in this wage revision provision which we have made. Because the payment and the provision required will be much less than whatever we have provided up to December. This is the reason that in December, this cost to income has gone up to 50%, which was, I think, 54% in September. And hopefully by the end of March, we will be able to bring it down to the same level of 54% by March end. and in the next financial year to bring it below the 50%.
And if I just ask you the same question on a repetitive basis, that wage bill which we have incurred in 9 months is 3,243 crores. On a quarterly basis, should I assume at 1,000 crores or 1,100 crores is a run rate?
No, you are, you said 3,244 crore. Here only you look at the provision for wage settlement. This is the provision which we were making since November 2017.
No, that I understood, sir. What I'm asking is, that is the past, what, as per the wage
settlement. So, that, this provision for wage settlement, you take it out and not entire 405 because now the wage has gone up. So, if you take something around 15 to 20 crore, you reduce from this. So, this will become 380 crore. So, 3,244 minus 380 crore will be for the 9 months. So, that you divide by 9, that will be the per month entire wage bill including all sort of benefits.
Okay, sir, based on our CASA, where do you see our rural and retail reach over a period of 1 or 2 years based on the transformation journey which we are starting, whether it is housing loans or with the lowest MCLR rather than SBI?
It will stabilize at 49 to 50% because taking it beyond that is very tough.
No. I'm asking what would be your retail reach linked to CASA, because CASA is enabler for a lot of retail cross-sell to
I think the last time also we gave you the figure, the retail portion of the CASA is 35%, 40%.
Sir, 91% is coming from below 1 crore accounts.
No. His question is, how much is being contributed by retail and how much is being contributed by non-retail in the CASA? Am I right, Sushil sir?
No, sir. It's a well-accepted fact. Central Bank has the lowest MCLR. We have the highest CASA among the peers, comparative banks, and you are compared to larger banks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a strength of the bank. How are we utilizing to grow our retail book, and how do you see that growth? Because I hear from the industry that Central Bank is able to garner a lot of retail loans, specifically housing loans. How are we shaping up that journey going forward in terms of reach and increasing, or you may call it RAM, but I am looking more from other products other than housing loans.
No. So the focus definitely is on the RAM, and in the RAM, the focus is more on the housing loan, and housing loan both organic as well as inorganic. And we want to take this RAM as a percentage to total advances to at least 75% in a years to come. And this will be mainly through our the branches in the semi-urban branches, because the requirement for the housing loan in the rural may not be that high, but it is quite encouraging in the semi-urban.
So is it possible to foresee 10-12,000 crores of a yearly disbursement, fresh loans,
yes,
and housing?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other product where you see that kind of a growth trajectory coming in?
I think the major growth trajectory will come from this. The other growth trajectory will come from the corporate, especially if up to the gap which we have, sectoral gap which we have for different sectors. So another growth will come from the NBFC because we see a lot of demand. The third sector from which the growth will come will be from the HAM projects in the road sector. The fourth, opportunities which will come to us is now the manufacturing sector is opening up. I feel that pharma, fertilizer, and steel, these three sectors are going to give us, I think, reasonably good prospects.
Earlier question was asked on your HTM book. My question is not on what is the unbooked profit, but I would ask how, till what rate is bank insulated where mark-to-market loss cannot happen?
Sir, we anticipated this going to happen around 3-4 months back. And then we started tightening our the investment book in the sense not to take exposure in a long tenure investments. So we fixed our, though we got the approval of the board for having a modified duration of 3%, but we ourselves have given a target to ourselves as 2% to 2.5%. Though you will see that in December quarter it was a little bit higher at 2.57%, but our efforts are that how much we can basically invest in less than 5 years of the paper.
No. Okay. Sir, based on these outlook of what you guided for or indicated for, how do you see the bank in coming quarters from a perspective for long-term investors?
I think the bank made, what I feel is the initiatives which we have taken, though we may be a little bit late in those initiatives, but once these initiatives start giving us a result, so that would be great for the investors to come in now, because the price at which bank shares are as of now, this is a very good price with all type of initiatives being taken, the change of focus which have been made, and the change in the policies which have been made. I strongly believe that unless some extraordinary thing happens, this bank is not going to look back. So this is the right moment for the investors to come in. Maybe later on, the value may go up.
The second thing is, this is a little hypothetical question and you may answer, you may not answer. We are one of the candidates who has not merged. Except PCA tag, which is more or less not effective, but it's being tagged as that's the reason we've not been chosen for the two candidates as being spoken about in the press. But as per your own indicative statement, which you mentioned to Maruk and few others in the past, that 5-6 bank is a good thinking. Do you think central bank is a good candidate from a perspective which government is looking on privatization?
Sir, till I retire, don't ask me this question.
Okay. Sir, thank you for the great journey in last 3 years.
Thank you, sir.
I wish you best of luck for the journey.
Thank you, sir.
And best wishes for health and happiness.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirvan Sarkar from Principal India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity.
Thank you.
That's one question. We have seen a sharp increase in our SMA1 and SMA2 books.
Hmm.
So, just to understand the breakdown there.
Okay. If you hear me out and have a little bit of patience, then I will give you the breakup. Now, see, what happens is that we try to prioritize which is the segment in the SMA we should hit first. So the first segment in the SMA which we hit first is the SMA2, because the NPA risk is higher in SMA2. Out of 11,595, whatever figure you are seeing, right, in the slide,
yes.
In January itself, this figure of 11,595 has come down to 7,700 crore, okay? Then out of, we have basically done a provisioning on 3,414 crore. Out of this 3,414 crore, where we have done a provisioning because treating it as a pro forma NPA, we have already upgraded to the extent of 145 crore, right? So that leaves 3,269 crore. Now, 7,700 crore minus 3,269 crore works out to 4,431 crore. Okay, sir. Out of which, 2,756 crore we have already done one-time restructuring. And in case of the one-time restructuring, as per RBI regulation, this will not be downgraded. So you reduce 2,756 from 4,431. That leaves 1,675 crore. So this is almost in line with September, and with little bit of more effort, we will be able to bring it down to June 20 level. You got my point, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's really helpful. Thank you. And just one more question on the SMA 1 book.
Yes, sir.
We have seen some increase in the MSME and retail portion. So any comments there?
Pardon, sir?
In the SMA 1 book, I'm saying we have seen a sharp increase in the MSME and retail books.
Yeah, yeah.
So any comments you have to offer there?
Right now, as I said, that my immediate attention was on SMA 2 so that I can reduce. Right now, I don't have this much of breakup what I gave for SMA 2. But on the field and the departments are also following up on the SMA 1. And in case of the MSME, this SMA 1, major portion of the SMA 1, what you see is 2,667 crore. These were eligible for restructuring as per August 2020 circular of RBI. That is additional provisioning of 5% without downgrading of the IRAC classification. So this also, this restructuring is going on. By the end of the March, we will be either able to maintain the status or get this upgraded.
Great, sir. And my last question is, we have seen an increase in our double B and below book.
I will give you, sir, double B and below. First of all, sir, below investment grade, and this question I have been asking to many rating agencies, that 1920 was a very, very unusual year for the entire economy. And if the rating agencies follow the same model which was being used by them pre-pandemic, in the pandemic area, then definitely all the ratings will be downgraded. In few cases, I myself, for my client, I had a long discussion with the rating agency. One example I can give you, that Future Group rating was downgraded from A to double B because of whatever you must be reading in the newspaper. So it is not that we have invested more in double B. It is because of the downgrading of the rating during the pandemic period, and majority of this downgrading is not on account of the fault of the unit. It was mainly on account of the environmental issues. You got my point?
Yes, yes, sir. That's very clear. Yeah, if I understood that the downgrades are mostly between, you know, the circumstances. So the broader question is, you know, whether we, from here on, should we expect to see those downgrades in check? Should we expect to...
Now, because in my interaction with the rating agency, they are also understanding this point. Some of the rating agencies, they have already made some changes in their rating models. And most probably, they will do some sort of a discounting on the cash flow during the pandemic period. I don't think that we will see most of these downgrading. But... it is a fact, there is a stress in the economy. There is no doubt in it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Mahesh, sir.
Hi. Sir, I just wanted to ask something on this Bhushan Power. The case has been pending in Supreme Court. But if I remember, in March last year, 2020, Supreme Court has said that JSW can still pay and bankers can take the money.
Okay.
That time what happened was bankers said that we want the money, but JSW didn't give it, maybe because of the crisis which was happening in the world over. But in November 2020, what was there in the media was that JSW has offered to pay, but the bankers are not willing to take it. Is it right, and how do we see this going ahead?
Mr. Mahesh, I am a person, you will find that he is one of the few bankers who believes in net present value or the time value of money. So in case of Bhushan Power and Steel, so the resolution plan is 42 cents a dollar, right? And
yeah,
their the, because in the NCLT cases, after the claims have been admitted, there is no accrual of interest, unlike in the DRT, right? So
yes,
this case is, I think, of 2018 or something. I sold this asset to ARC at 39 cents per dollar in March 19.
Okay,
now,
okay.
Just think of, on the NPV, how much money I have made on this.
Okay.
So,
okay, so you... So you don't have any exposure. I thought you have some big exposure.
We had exposure, but I sold it in 2019, where many of the critics were saying that, Mr. Mahapatra, 3 cents a dollar, you are losing. I said that I want to see when this money will come, who will be getting 42 cents a dollar. Now, okay, even sitting in February, how many bankers have got 42 cents a dollar?
Nothing. Okay, so I thought you are still there. But any idea what is happening? Are the bankers still willing to take the money?
No
idea.
On my place, sir, why I will bother for if I have got
sure,
it.
Sure, sure. I can understand. Sorry, I missed that part. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashoka Ajmera from Ajcon Global Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity once again.
Thank you, sir.
I will take this opportunity, sir, first to compliment you for whatever work you have done in the Central Bank of India, especially in the systems and automations and digital and a lot of qualitative changes, of the result of which will be seen in the future. But having come from the State Bank of India, you know, the Central Bank is not even 10% of State Bank, but you have done a lot of good things here. And we will all witness the results. So congratulations for that, and
thank
we wish you all the very best, even
thank
after
you.
Your superannuation. Having said that, sir, I would like to just, in case of credit monitoring and other things, you said that you have got a very robust system in place now, where the performance management system, when the applications are received, they are put and they are processed, is being monitored. But
yes,
sir, the interim period between the receipt and putting in the system, who is monitoring that? Because the experience in many of these banks is that it goes on, you know, lingering the day you apply, because people do not put in the system.
Sir, when this particular system will be made open to the customers, and the customers are basically educated. So these are the two things. One is this will be linked to the website, and the customers can basically put the application there and they can do the tracking of their application there. But the major question is the customers should be also educated that this is the system which is available. Now, if, what I presume is that we should basically advertise more, and customers should basically track their own application on the system. And when they are seeing that there is a delay in the decision making, they should do the escalation. And I don't disagree that this is happening, that the application is submitted in physical form, and branches may be not sending it across to the right department or whatever it is. But this particular the system which I am talking about, the new loan origination system, this will be linked to the website where the customers themselves can put the application and track it.
Great. I mean, that will help a lot, because for months together,
I know,
the customers
sir,
are
I know,
just lying
I
in
know.
The branches, and they are having only informal discussions with their higher officials without even focusing the application.
My strong belief in banking is that as less as possible the manual intervention should be, as more as the system intervention should be there. So that, because our the ultimate goal or aim of a bank is what? To give the service to the customer. And this can be achieved when the control is in the hand of the customer, not in the hand of the branch manager.
Now, sir, my one question is on the recent budget announcement of the finally coming, the bad bank going to come in the reality, the special asset recovery reconstruction company. And I'm sure that the government or the Reserve Bank of India must have consulted the banks like yours. So What are your views on this? I mean, how this NPA will be transferred to this bad bank, whether it will be at the net NPA price level or there will be negotiation case to case for transfer, or the bankers will get benefit of the NPV difference between the net NPA and NPV, some difference later on when the assets are finally sold or disposed of. What are your views on that, sir? Whether the banks will be really benefited by this?
Ajmera sahab, you are asking so much of detail, most probably this has not been thought over. But I will give you in whatever the things have come in the public domain, I will only make the comment on that. First is, there will be a national ARC, and because Secretary DFS has said that the ARC will be buying the assets at on the model of 1585, 15% cash, 85% SR. Now, I have read somewhere also, someone has said this will be net of the provision amount.
Yes.
Now, if suppose there will be a negotiation or discussion between the national ARC and the bank on the reserve price on which this will be basically bought over by them, then the basic purpose of national ARC is defeated. There has to be a standardized model. There has to be a formula-driven model which will be applicable to all the banks so that there is a uniformity in it. Otherwise, it will be just like a sale to some ARC. Number one. Number two is, if it is going to be on the model of 1585, because of what I strongly believe is 100% of these assets cannot be resolved. And 100% of the assets cannot be resolved, what is going to happen those SRs which will never be redeemed?
Yeah, because even
so these are unanswered questions. Let us see, the time will give us the answers.
And sir, my last question is, sir, on that, with this new, I mean, after the budget, the whole euphoria has been built up. And not only euphoria, I mean, the fact is also there that huge capex and investment is going to take
place. That is the right decision which has been taken, and there's a very bold decision which has been taken without basically focusing on the deficit percentage. The government has taken the right decision. See, what happens is we take care of deficit. We don't spend on the capital expenditure, but there will be a revenue expenditure. This revenue expenditure is neither going to create GDP,
yes,
nor going to create the employment. This will only go down as consumption. When this capital expenditure is done by the government, there are so many entrepreneurs who are sitting on the fence and they are waiting for the government to take the first step. And the moment the government takes the first step, they will also be jumping into the fray. And when this capex takes place, this is not going to help in that particular sector in where the capex is going to be invested, but this is also going to help the other ancillary sectors which will also gain. And this will not only gain from the GDP point of view, this will also gain from the employment point of view, this will also gain from giving the higher, what do you call, paying power to the consumer.
Yes.
So this will again refuel the economy.
And it will take the bank's credit to again double digit a year?
Yes, sir. It will. Because once the cash flow improves, definitely the bank credit quality will improve.
Great, sir. Thank you very much,
thank
and
you.
All the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maruk Adajania from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi again, sir.
Yes,
so, sir, I just wanted to discuss on the recovery. So, sir, you already have sold Bhushan Power to an ARC, and people are also talking about DHFL, which is pretty much in the press as well. But apart from these two, are there any major corporates that are in the recovery pipeline, either in power or in any other sector?
In the last quarter, there is no major except for one, that is Matix Fertilizer, which we are quite hopeful because all the banks have basically given their approval for the OTS. I don't think in the last quarter there will be any other major recovery happening. But next year, I hope that recovery may be there in coastal energy, recovery may be there the money will come in DHFL. DHFL, I'm not very sure that the money will come in the last quarter, but 50% of the 40% resolution plan which has been done, which has to come in the hard cash. So I am hoping this will come in the first quarter of the next financial year. Then there may be some, of course, I don't want to name some, but if there will be four or five other accounts which are quite in the newspapers today, which may have the resolution plan, where the resolution plan has been approved, but because of some other complications, maybe litigation, suit filed, so this is not going forward. But I am quite sure that those will be finally settled in the coming financial year. And
but that's through NCLT, sir?
Yeah, I am talking about NCLT.
Okay, sir.
Matrix is not under NCLT, that is outside NCLT.
Got it. And there will be recovery in all of this? Would all this be fully provided for? Or?
Yeah, most of them are fully provided for. So it will be either the write-back of the provision, or if there is a technical write-off, then it will go straight into profit and loss.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Leela from FinTech. Please go ahead.
Sir, so you made a comment telling you are looking forward to increasing the productivity per employee, because central bank's productivity per employee was very less compared to other public sector banks and private banks. So where can you just throw a light and give some numbers?
This number has started going up, right? Now, that is number one part, but incremental part is not very, very significant. But what we are trying to do is, we have reorganized the entire setup by the branch to be a delivery point, branch manager to be basically doing the marketing and other areas. We have created a separate marketing team, so it will be doing the marketing for the non-customers. Branch managers will be doing the marketing for their own customers through upsell and cross-sell. For the non-customers, it will be done by the marketing team. We are tracking the lead conversion of these the leads given by the marketing team. We have taken out the processing in the RAM, that is retail, agriculture, and MSME, all from the processing, and we have created these cells, the cell processing center for retail, processing center for agriculture, processing center for MSME. And so the entire processing will move there. And the project which we are, and this loan origination system which will be end-to-end, where there will be minimal manual intervention. So that will also reduce the involvement of the human being. We are going through this Project Disha, which is a transformation initiative, and the results which they have thrown through the pilot projects which they have done in the 14 regions, that per branch, there is a saving of 222 hours of the branch manager by moving out these things to the processing center. So this will definitely give a fillip to the improvement in the productivity. And all the other technological products which we are focusing on, and also trying to improve our digital banking penetration. So it is for sure that productivity of the central bank, which was one of the, I will say, the lowest in the market, is going to go up. We are not recruiting that many people for the sake of having the manpower. We reduced our manpower from around 36,000 when the PCA started to around 32,000 odd, which we have now, though we recruited some 600 clerical and 200 odd officers. This we are thinking of the future, because we do not want to face a situation when there is a boom in the business and we do not have the manpower to basically support that. So for that, the minimal requirement, and to take the productivity up, all these initiatives have been taken.
Thank you, sir. That's significant. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashoka Ajmera from Ajcon Global Services. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. I'm getting a lot of opportunity. Sir, in your last reply, you said some of the companies' names you have given that recovery prospect when I think Maruk asked this question. And you referred one name of Coastal Energy and also.
Hmm.
So I believe that is for OTS and not for NCLT, isn't it? Have you approved the OTS?
No. That is not in the NCLT. That is OTS, yes.
So have you approved that OTS?
Yeah. We have given our approval long time back.
Okay. So there, how much a percentage of the overall that 6,000-7,000 crore of outstanding?
I think it is around 40% or 39%.
Okay, that will be a big good recovery, I think, in the times to come.
I have just done one analysis of recovery, whatever we are getting in the NCLT. The recovery percentage there is also 56%, and this 56% is mainly because of SRC.
Without SRC,
the recovery percentage will be something around 44-45%. So if we are able to get something in the OTS of something 40-42% to clean up the books, that is, in my opinion, a good recovery percentage.
Good, sir. So it will increase our operating profit also, which this quarter has come down to 1,400 from 1,459 to 1,193 crore. Little bit come down. It came down from the last quarter. So it will again go back to almost about 1,800 crore.
Operating profit, I told you, I gave you the figure. That was mainly on account of the major portfolio moving to the repo-linked benchmark, which was as per the regulation.
Yeah, correct.
So that was there. The on account of this movement, the loss in the interest during the three quarters, was around 415 crores. If I add back that to my 9 months income, so my operating profit is more than the operating profit of 2019. And also if I add back 105 crore, which was one quarter loss in the interest, that is also more than the September 20 interest income.
Good, sir. So on recovery front also, we'll go back to 1,000 crore, 1,200 crore figures.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sohail Halai for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, Faizan. Sir, before we end, I have a couple of questions, if I may ask.
Yes, sir. Sure. Why not?
So one in terms of basically your CASA and cost of funds. So CASA has been very robust and the cost of funds is now significantly lower. So in that context, if you could just explain in terms of the margins for future, one, basically we have seen some decline in the margin. I believe some part or the large part of it could be because of interest income reversals as well. So if you could just guide in terms of what is the kind of pressure on the lending yields that we are witnessing. And basically the outlook for margins?
Sir, the outlook for when you are talking about the margin, I think you are talking about the NIM, right?
Yes, sir.
So NIM, what I feel is anything, say, 3% or shade above 3%, I am very comfortable with. Right?
Number
two is there will be a pressure on the yield on advances, which we are now basically seeing in the market. Even a AAA rated borrower, their request for any loan is not even 1 month MCLR or overnight MCLR. It is much below the MCLR as such. They are asking for a 3 month loan or a 6 month loan at something around 3.75-3.80%. So there will be a pressure on that. The question here is, what I have basically strategized is, if you move more towards AA, because in case of AAA, the risk weight is 20%. In case of AA, the risk weight is 30%. There is only a difference of 10 percentage point on the risk weight. And if you are able to get a good I will say that a better pricing on a double A, that will compensate more on that loss of 10 percentage point loss on the risk weight. So with the 3% or 3.05% of the NIM, I think we will be quite comfortable in achieving whatever is we have set the target for ourselves.
Okay, okay, that is helpful, sir. Sir, other thing, if you could just help with basically the overall restructuring, including what has been invoked.
Sir, the restructuring is mostly in MSME, and whatever has been invoked in the corporate sector is 2,700 crore is the amount which has been invoked in the corporate sector. But major restructuring is happening in the MSME sector. In the corporate sector, what most of the eligible borrowers, what they have done is, instead of going for the restructuring, they have preferred ECLGS 2, and they get 20% of their outstanding as on 29th of February. And if they are not more than 30 days overdue in February 2020, they are eligible, and they are taking more interest in this ECLGS 2. And I think in our bank, we must have given ECLGS 2 to the corporate something around 20 customers, and more requests will be now, of course, that time is over, right, for the corporate. The time is up to 31st March.
So, till the corpus is available.
Yeah, so till the corpus of that 3 lakh crore which is which the government has put, so lot of interest is being taken, and till now I think the corpus has been used to the extent of 2,50,000 crore.
Okay. Sir, if I may actually just try to check one thing, as you mentioned, obviously in terms of the RBI guidelines, restructuring was allowed only for the corporates who had 30 days or less overdue as on Feb.
Yeah.
Right. So there would be corporates who were sitting in SMA 1 and 2, and probably we have not seen for the system as well as for us a large quantity of slippages. So can we expect that the corporate performance can be slightly volatile going ahead?
No, no, sir, when you are saying that eligibility of SMA 0 for the ECLGS 2, that is on in February 2020.
Right.
Now, if today they are sitting in SMA 1 or SMA 2, but they were SMA 0 in February 2020, they are eligible for ECLGS 2.
Right.
So, right. What we have done is, we first took out the dump of February 2020 and saw that how many cases are eligible. And we approach those corporates, even if suppose they had become SMA 1 or something like that now, and they showed the interest, instead of doing the restructuring, they said that we will go for the ECLGS 2, where they are getting a 20% additional. And for the bank also, it is safe in the sense that that 20% is zero risk, 20% is guaranteed by the government. So the bank also preferred to go with this route.
Yeah, so I was just asking that on Feb 29, there would be borrowers who were sitting in SMA 1 and SMA 2.
They are not eligible.
Yeah, they are not eligible for restructuring as well, right? So what happens to those borrowers? Because
but
we have
that
seen...
That also we are monitoring. And when I gave the figure, so some of these borrowers, they had become NPA as on 31st March. And then RBI gave a dispensation that if you have upgraded, then make the provision of 5% plus 5%. So 3,414 includes that also. These, the borrowers which remained in SMA 2, that also we have taken, and suppose they have not paid the installment from September to December. So technically they are NPA. There also we have taken them in the proforma SMA. NPA. There may be cases where they have paid, and as per IRAC norms, they are not NPA and they are still SMA 2.
So we are following up with them, and whatever is possible which we can do, we will do it. Like for instance, in case of the future group. So in case of the future group, if there is going to be a management change, and I think the possibility is quite bright because now High Court has also allowed them. So if there is a change in management, so there will be no hit to the bank.
Sure. And sir, so that's, I will ask my last question basically in terms of, before that, I'll just thank you for a detailed insight and wish you all the best for the future. And it was really nice of you to give us the opportunity to host the call. So in my final, before handing over you to the closing remarks, basically in last 3 years, we have put in a lot of efforts and we have done a lot of consolidation in our balance sheet as well. And probably the cost of fund is one of the lowest in the system now. Just in terms of your final closing remarks, if this, it could include, where do you see the sustainable ROAs in not immediate quarters, but probably in 1 to 3 years kind of a time? That would be very helpful, sir. And once again, wish you all the best for the future. Thank you, sir.
Well, sir, this question is so tough to answer because when you are basically involved in the consolidation of the bank, so 3 years down the road, if you look at now what will be the position, it is very difficult to answer right now. Because there are some many other things which are moving in the bank. So I got basically involved in those things and I wanted to push those reforms in the bank, giving real focus to the compliance angle. Then on the IT side, so I may not be able to give you a guidance what will be the ROA in 3 years time, but somehow it will remain at something around 0.5% to 0.75%.
Sure, sir, that is very helpful. Basically, you have laid the foundation and now it is on the next person who has joined us to build onto that foundation. And that we have seen in the past as well, in probably many other examples, not only in banking, but overall in general life as well. So I thank you a lot for basically in terms of giving us this opportunity to host a call. If you want to add any other closing remarks.
I have nothing, and I want to thank all of you because being patient with this bank and also guiding us and also pinpointing the bank wherever the bank was losing the track of, and I give lot of importance to the analysts because they are not only analyzing the figures of one bank, they are analyzing the figure of the entire financial sector. Their in-depth and incisive idea about the financial sector is much more than even the MD of a bank. So I am really thankful for all the guidance you people have given to me. I am thankful that you have been very, very patient with our bank. Regarding Central Bank of India, the only thing I can say is this bank is now on the move forward. This is the right time when the investors should look at this bank, that this bank is the right organization to put the money. They can test by doing small investments, but and test the water. I am not saying that don't test the water, but as a banker with 37 years of experience, I can say that it has moved out of mess.
Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best for your future,
you.
Sir, and hope to stay in touch. Thank you,
thank
sir.
You, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.